What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I don't think you're ready.
Oh, for the jelly?
Exactly. So let's just take it. What is jelly? What does that mean?
It's a confusing fucking song.
Well, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. What? Strawberry, raspberry, grape?
I think it's butt jelly.
That's a weird way to describe your rear end.
Kentucky jelly?
Petroleum jelly? I don't think you're ready for this petroleum jelly. I just want to know what the jelly is. What is the jelly? What flavor jelly is it? What if it is? What if all these songs are actually just completely literal?
There could be a kids bop version of that song.
Yeah, it would just be, they could just convert the lyrics into Berrylicious. Anyways, you're saying what now? Destiny's Child.
Yeah, this may be a dumber name for a band with more than one person in it than the Lone Rangers. What was the name of the movie about the band named Lone Rangers again?
Was it Airheads?
I'm just kidding. I don't think the people behind Destiny's Child are that dumb.
I think Destiny's Child, Destiny, if you think of it this way, this whole thing is just about Beyonce. So Destiny's Child is Beyonce. That's what this is. This is the birth of Beyonce's career from Destiny.
Naming the group Destiny's Child makes perfect sense. Once you're aware, the only reason this group exists is because Destiny's Child is and was always going to be Beyonce Knowles.
That's it.
So what you're looking at here is standard issue wannabe showbiz parents pushing their kids on to the stage, which for the record is never not disgusting.
Yeah.
JonBenet Ramsey, right down the list, man. This is how you fuck people up. Almost always fucks the kid up.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine what Beyonce is like now. No clue. I've heard that she has a room in her house that is temperature controlled and used as storage for every recording of her that exists. Every photograph that she knows of, every interview that she's ever given, every news article, everything. I don't know what the purpose of that is. It's just like the ultimate hard drive of her public life in some room in her house. That's not, I don't think that's normal.
Do you think that she doesn't know what cloud storage is? Let's send her a Dropbox
link. I don't know when the last time she saw a cloud is.
Does she store her ego in there? Ooh. Like she takes her ego out and keeps it in the room? It just sits there and sucks in all the self-awesomeness?
It's possible. I don't think this is a normal way to become a person. And I don't think the chances of you becoming anything like a normal person are very high if this is the way that you become a person. Her parents had her auditioning to be in girl groups when she was 8 years old. She got in one called Girls Time, T-Y-M-E. That is the group that eventually turned into Destiny's Child. She's been doing this since she was eight. She was doing it before then, too, in talent shows, recitals at school.
It's a lot of pressure to put on kids. And this story isn't unique to Beyonce. I mean,
no.
The most famous one would probably be Michael Jackson, who's obviously their entire family was completely fucked.
Beyonce's dad sees Jackson 5 and just like, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. What a thing to like look at and go, I want to emulate the Jacksons because they all look like very successful, healthy, functioning members of society.
Totally scrubs the part from his memory where none of these kids are okay as adults. So Girls Time was on the show Star Search and they lost. Star Search is a thing that used to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a precursor to The Voice or yeah. American Idol or things like that, except it wasn't just someone who sings in a terribly obnoxious way, ruining every song that you used to like.
I was just convinced that they were lip syncing anyways. Weren't they just typically like lip syncing and dancing on that
on
show?
Star Search?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
They were actually singing?
It was basically a talent show.
Yeah. I always just felt like it was more of a show than anything else.
So Girls Time lost when they were on Star Search, which that can't feel, I mean, there are probably a lot of little girl tears cried that day. And I mean, I have no idea how this guy responds to something like that, but you can watch so much footage interacting with the members of Destiny's Child over the years. It doesn't seem great to me. It doesn't seem healthy or awesome.
It's one of those things where you is it because of the way that everything is edited that kind of make him seem like a
I don't think
dick
so.
Bag, or is he just a dick bag? And now if we were to take the interviews that every single member of Destiny Child has done, excluding Beyonce, it seems that he's maybe not that great of a guy.
I think this guy has seminars now on
how to exploit your child for money and fame.
How to break into the music business. I don't know.
Those are always very true. I mean, I personally highly recommend anybody who says I could teach you how to break into the music business.
Right. I think he's published at least a book, something like 10 or 11 or 12 habits that every successful person has. If nothing drives me more up the wall than someone who got lucky one fucking time,
right,
and acts like they called it. Dude, do it four more times and then write a book about it, okay?
Sure.
Break four more acts like this, so you got a nice five of them. Then you can start talking about how to do it, okay? After Girls' Time Lost on Star Search is when Beyonce's dad took over. And on Star Search, they were trying to be a little hip-hop act. It wasn't the same songs, of course, or anything like that. They were just chasing whatever trend. Hip-hop group acts were a bigger trend than R&B group acts at the time for these little girls.
This was a time when there were so freaking many.
And when I say hip-hop, I'm talking old crisscross type hip-hop, not, you know, 90s gangster rap or anything like that.
Very accessible.
And I'm not going to get very specific on this story. Beyonce's dad took over as the manager. There were a ton of lineup changes that nobody really cares about. And eventually this did become Destiny's Child. Some other names the group went by in this period were Something Fresh, The Dolls, Cliche, Destiny.
Ooh, we're getting there.
It's interesting that the same group of people were named Something Fresh at one point, but then also named Cliche at another point. Those are antonyms.
I was going to say they were just sit around and pick out names or words, and they're like in a thesaurus, and it shows sometimes both ends of it.
It's like, let's try this one for a year. If it doesn't work, we'll change it. It's almost like none of the ideas put forward by this group have any integrity, and they're just trying to figure out anything that will work because the whole project is nothing more than a Trojan horse for the commercial product that is Beyonce's eventual solo career. Right, Dad?
That seems to be what this is. Basically a testing ground. It's a product testing ground. So what we can do here is see what works, what doesn't work. Let's change the name. Let's change the lineup. Let's try different kinds of music.
Also, there's a 100% chance that Beyonce's dad is going to listen to this episode.
Let's under-sexualize it. Let's over-sexualize it. Let's do it all, and then when it's all said and done, Beyonce can sail on. It's a petri dish.
If he thought her talent or whatever would allow for her to break as a solo artist, that's what they would have been trying to do the whole time.
Sure.
It was just, this is what everyone was trying to do, so he tried to do it too.
This is quite literally just throwing stuff at the wall as much as you possibly can and seeing what sticks.
And then the thing about the music business that you and I've even talked about just in casual conversation is how far name recognition goes. How many bands break up on a daily basis? You know, the longer you can stay a band working in the same scene, the likelier it is that you will gain an audience. You're there. You build up name recognition. If you have anything remotely like what people are buying, you should be able to sell it.
Right. You just have to keep going and not quit, and then have a very unique name like Beyonce. Unfortunately for Kelly. And well,
no, did you know that the other girls' names are more unique? Her dad made them change their names to Kelly.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Her fucking name's not Kelly. It's like, you can't have a cool name. You got to have a normal name.
That's exactly what that is. This is genius level marketing. The more unique, well, this is also at a time before.
I'm very hesitant to call this guy a genius. I do believe he may have a marketing degree. If you're a genius, you can do this more than one time is what I think.
What if, yeah, no, that's fair. But Solange, her sister.
I think Solange is doing far more interesting things than Beyonce ever has or ever will do. And I think it's in spite of her family, not because of her family. I think when you look at what this guy has Solange doing as a young girl, which is just Disney Channel, dumb shit like that. And then what she did probably as soon as she could start making her own decisions, which is have Dev Hynes, a.k.a. Blood Orange, produce her first album where she's really controlling things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there, I don't think that that's her dad at all.
Right.
I mean, Solange is going to come up in this episode, like what his idea for her was going to be. And yeah, it's not anything that anyone couldn't see a mile away. All right, so let's get into this. I don't think you should be allowed to make a greatest hits compilation unless you have enough greatest hits to go on it. Does that make me an asshole?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Then I guess
share with us how many greatest hits does somebody have before they can have a greatest hits album?
If your greatest hits album only has four songs on it, then I guess you can call that your greatest hits album because the Destiny's Child's greatest hits comp is called number ones. You like the Elvis number ones and the Beatles one, just number one songs that they had. Mm-hmm. Destiny's Child has one of those, even though they've only ever had four number one songs, maybe five if you're counting going number one on an R&B chart. But there's clearly some bullshit going on here. Mm. This greatest hits comp has 16 songs on it. Destiny's Child only ever even released 17 singles in their whole career.
Now, what if you're not taking into account college radio? What if they were number one at college radio?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
these
sure.
These are our number ones at college radio.
They're number one in the hearts of their grandmas who are cutting out the clippings. And
these are our number one downloaded songs on Napster.
I don't think that every single they release, except for one, meets any sort of criteria. Also, there are bands who put out compilations that are called The Singles. It's not like you have to lie to people. You can say Destiny's Child, The Singles.
Everything in the history, obviously, of this band, including a Christmas album, we know how we feel about those, is obviously just a giant money grab, including, so at this time, this is a time when people buy CDs, probably still buy tapes, but definitely buying CDs. You put out a greatest hits album, even though you only have four. People buy it. It's just another way to make money. It's an obvious money grab.
And that's the thing about pop. Pop audiences are constantly being gaslighted like this.
Sure.
Always. They're always being lied to. Unless it's number one, like you're number one, giving someone the finger. Oh, here, buy it. Go fuck yourself.
That's what it is. Yes, that's the number one. Just them flipping the bird to their fans saying, buy this.
Have you ever seen how many people believe Beyonce is in the Illuminati?
Well, after that YouTube video that I watched, I actually kind of think it might be true. I watched probably five of those YouTube videos, and I'm starting to think there might be something to it.
I'm starting to think you shouldn't be allowed on YouTube without adult supervision. So this is a great thing on the internet that some people may have missed. There are so many folks who think pretty much all the major pop stars you've ever heard of, including Beyonce, are actually in the Illuminati, the hidden group of people that secretly run the world.
Prove them wrong.
No,
you don't believe it. No, prove them wrong.
There are videos where people will break this down.
Videos? There's like encyclopedias of this stuff. Hours, 100 hours. There's a lot of good stuff on YouTube that tells you exactly what the truth is about this. Now that we've sold a bunch of shirts, maybe people will start responding to them wearing our shirt.
We get tagged in posts all the time, I see. Yeah, if you get a shirt.
At yfbspod.com. I want to hear the stories.
Oh, I definitely want to hear some stories. I bet it's a lot of people laughing at the shirt. I bet when you're walking around in a shirt that says your favorite band sucks on it, you get a lot of people who aren't dumb as fuck going, that shirt's funny.
I hope. It's a great conversation starter or ender. If you're a single person and you're someone that goes on dates, you should buy a shirt and wear it on a date.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great litmus test. Figure out right away, oh, this person I'm going on this date with, his favorite band is Weezer. Text your friend, hey, can you call me in a minute and tell me that you really need my help?
Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
The likelihood of a pop star being included in these conspiracy theories goes way up the more choreography is a part of what they do. Pretty much any boy group or girl group that has dance routines, any solo artist that ever has to do a dance routine, even an actor who dances in all their movies, it's pretty much guaranteed you can find some blog post or YouTube video sincerely breaking down examples of this person signaling that they are in the Illuminati. There are a thousand reasons why this is stupid. One would be that if you're in the Illuminati, everyone else in the Illuminati knows. They're not out there sending secret public signals to each other, like playing chicken or some shit. They're never going to figure it out. You know, you got to do it. It says in the rule book, once a year, at least 5 million people have to see the picture.
That's right. Otherwise, you lose your membership. That's what it is. We have to have analytics proving that you drove up the awareness of our group here. So we're going to need you next time you go on tour. You're going to need more triangles, There's a lot of it. And it actually rolls even on into like when she gets married to Jay-Z. There's like all sorts of stuff even there. It just keeps on going. It's almost like they're just saying it because they know that it gets a rise out of you and you will keep buying it.
Oh, I would do that for sure.
Dude, think about it. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
No.
So every time they do a little something, they mention Illuminati or you guys freaking make a 3-hour YouTube video, all you're doing is advertising their music.
The reason why dancing makes this happen is anyone who has to perform hundreds of physical movements, it's bound to happen that one of those movements is going to look like whatever these crackpots have decided are the secret hand signals. Anyone who dances is going to accidentally do one of these things.
Yeah.
If not on purpose, do it just to fuck with everyone, like sure. You just said.
Hours of dancing or however many music, just the music videos alone. And there's this one part where they made a triangle. Well, yes, of course, over a long enough period of time, everything is going to make a triangle.
She didn't do it on every video though, dude. She just had to hit her quota. It was only in this one because she had to hit her quota to make sure everyone remember that she was still down.
She was actually really close to losing her membership at one point. She was just like, okay, fine, I'll do this.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Secret societies, the whole point is to be a secret, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then the reason why you would flaunt that in front of millions of people.
It's just flexing. Just flexing right? So hard.
Is it like the only way that she can come?
Yeah.
Like, ah, they're never going to know what I'm doing. And then she goes backstage. Once these people who are looking for this stuff, once they're paying attention to your career, it's never going to stop. Do you remember the conspiracy theory that Beyonce secretly had a surrogate carry her child?
Vaguely.
This was the whole thing. Apparently, there was some video people saw where she's walking in for an interview and she sits down in a chair and it looks like her pregnant belly collapses, like it's a fake belly or something. So people think that she had someone else carry her child and just pretended to be pregnant the whole time.
Well, one thing that's true is everything you see on video is 100% true at all times. Lighting and the fact that what people are wearing actually has no effect on what you're seeing. It's true. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, there's no possibility of the shadow of a boom mic falling across her stomach and making it look like a crease moving across this outfit that she's wearing. I'm sure.
No, the only logical answer is that somebody else carried her baby.
Right, because there aren't a lot of bright lights creating unnatural lighting that would make this situation appear in any way differently than we're all used to every time we sit down and have a conversation with someone.
Yeah, 100%. That's true.
Conspiracy theories crack me up for so many reasons. The whole thing is built on I see through the veil that blinds everyone because I'm so much smarter, but they believe the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Pop stars are running the world, right? That's the secret. That's the big secret to everything. Eminem, he set American foreign policy for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
The Marshall Mathers LP was just that fucking good. They had to let him in.
Dude, if you listen to the Marshall Mathers at one point, they changed the code since then. But they actually, if you played it backwards, they had the nuclear codes in there. That's how good he was as a rapper. He was so good he could actually share the nuclear codes with people, but you had to play it backwards. Nobody knew.
Did you ever read that Brett Easton Ellis novel, Glamorama, where famous models and actors are secretly terrorists?
I mean, it sounds about right.
It's actually a metaphor for the way that pop culture works. See, it infects your mind as effectively as any... we'll get into it later.
This is one thing that's for sure not a conspiracy.
Well, the other thing about how dumb it is that pop stars could possibly be involved in secret societies of any large scale or immediate effectiveness in the world, it's these people's jobs to be as famous as possible. There's a whole media industry built on top of following them around and taking pictures of everything they do everywhere they go. Yeah, let's induct Mr. and Mrs. Carter into the secret society and just hope that they can always lose the paparazzi every time they need to.
How do they even get to the meetings? But that's where technology comes in now. So they have like this like WhatsApp group that has like a little chat thing now going on. They like FaceTime each other.
A side tunnel opens and they go off the road and like the trees are fake, like a cartoon.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's all true.
Yeah. I mean, if you're basing your conception of reality on Looney Tunes cartoons, I can totally see why this makes sense.
It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit's actually real. They throw a thing on the wall and they jump through it. It's like this cartoon world, but it's actually the Illuminati world.
The other crazy thing about all conspiracy theories is they're often pretty close to what's actually going on. They just have to overcomplicate it with some insane element that would never have to be a part of it for the same outcome to be a thing.
Right. Well, they take Occam's razor and they do the exact opposite. They turn it into like Occam's like
ninja star.
Yeah. It's like the whole fucking, they make way too many things out of Occam's razor.
Pop stars are not controlling the Western world. Pop stars are controlling the conversations that most of the Western world is having, while everything that actually matters happens over here without all the attention on it, because you dumb motherfuckers are watching videos about pop stars being in the Illuminati.
Right. That's the whole point.
Yes.
If there's any conspiracy, you're actually making it worse.
The celebrities are not in the Illuminati. They're in the Deluminati, and you're a fucking member too, okay? This is all just making everyone dumber.
Yep.
Here's how it works. You can have the money because you're a useful distraction to keep everyone dumb, but you get none of the power, enjoy all of the attention of being famous because you're going to start to hate it soon. Maybe build a tall fence around your house. That's what pop stars get. Money, no power.
Who was president in 2001? I don't know. I was listening to Survivor. See, you were distracted. You didn't even know who president was because you were singing Bootylicious. Way to go. And their job is done.
Beyonce's in the Illuminati. Oh, that's cool. Who'd you vote for in your local elections last year? I don't vote. It doesn't matter, man. They're running everything. And then you go back home and watch 27 more consecutive hours of YouTube.
Bingo.
Another reason I understand why there are so many conspiracy theories about pop singers being in the Illuminati is that the Deluminati very visibly functions how you would expect an Illuminati to function. Nobody inducts themselves. You've got to be brought in by an established member. They bring you in. There are rituals. This is how it works, man. That is how pop music has always worked. I don't give a fuck what story any publicist concocts about how this or that person is a self-made anything. But this isn't a conspiracy theory because it does not happen behind closed doors. It's in the open. It's in the album credits. You can read it.
Yeah.
This producer did this. There's always a producer or a manager. There's always a feature from somebody who's already mega famous. There's always someone in a very, very public way.
I feel like they've gotten even better at making it feel like there's no arc. It's just all of a sudden out of nowhere you like whatever it is, that's the design of it.
Yeah.
A lot of times with this stuff, especially, there is no arc. Easiest example in modern day pop stars like Billie Eilish sold out an entire tour before she put out an album.
Right.
What do you think that is? It's the same exact thing that bands like Destiny's Child laid the groundwork for all of this stuff. They just got better at it over the years.
And if you get on Wikipedia and you get in the credits of the album and you start clicking all the names that are blue links and looking at what those names did before they did this, that's the Deluminati. It's right there on Wikipedia because that's how real life works.
The Deluminati.
In the case of Destiny's Child, anyone who thinks that all of this happened on the merits of Beyonce's talent needs to take their little Generation Z ass back in time and find out how fucking massive an album called The Score by a band called The Fugees was.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you know who Destiny's Child is and who Beyonce is. Wyclef Jean.
Honestly, just name recognition alone, a majority of Destiny's Child career, more people would know his name than they would know the name Destiny's Child for a majority of their career.
At least the first half. The Fugees made The Score. It's their last album, but I can tell you for a fact it is. Did you want to look it up real fast?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Number one, this album was very popular.
What are the numbers on it?
It sold 18 million
copies. Jeez, man.
Worldwide. 18 million, 6 million in the United States alone.
This is music that your parents bought and thought was cool without knowing that you already thought it was cool. That's The Score by the Fugees, because they also sampled old music that your parents remembered, like what, Roberta Flack?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff. It was all over the place. It was unavoidable, dude. At the time when it came out, it was like the biggest thing on earth. And it was in 1996 is when this came out.
And then they broke up.
Yes, so they did.
They broke up at the top of their game.
Yep.
Everyone was waiting to see what they were going to do next. Destiny's Child's first big single was that song, No, 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 but it wasn't their album version of the song. The version that was a hit was the Wyclef Jean remix of the song. And also the remix, his voice was all over it. Like a precursor to DJ Khaled going like, this is the remix. He says this is the remix 30 times at the beginning of the song. That's exactly what he did in the Fugees too. So when people hear his voice doing that, they're like, oh shit, is this the new Fugees? No, it's Destiny's Child. You're probably going to buy it too though.
This is also when people are buying stuff still physically with their eyeballs and like looking at stuff. So if they saw his name on something attached to something else, people would actually maybe buy it just simply because
there'd be a sticker on the CD case that says featuring Wyclef Jean remix No 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 or whatever.
Huge selling point.
And if anyone doesn't want to believe that Wyclef Jean is the reason Destiny's Child had their first hit, please go look up his first solo album sales versus sales of the first Destiny's Child album.
Mm-hmm.
He sold over twice as many copies as the first Destiny's Child album did. And I'm not saying that's because Wyclef's album is good or even better than the Destiny's Child album, because it's trash. The song Gone Till November is one of the worst things you will ever hear, but that is not the point that I'm making.
I'll be gone till November, gone till November.
The point that I'm making is that song, as dumb as it was a humongous hit.
Yeah.
And his album, strictly coasting on how successful the Fugees were and the fact that the Fugees broke up while the whole world was paying attention to them. So when one of the things he comes back with is this remix of No No No, everyone's paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first Destiny's Child hit released in advance of the album, which did not sell very well at all when it came out. But this was their induction into the Illuminati, man.
Mm-hmm.
It did enough to get their foot in the door of the club. So next step after this is, yo, can we get the dude who produced No Scrubs for TLC to do Destiny's Child whole next album? Also, can we do a rewrite of No Scrubs for the lead single? Also, can we get Candy Burris, who actually wrote No Scrubs, to rewrite No Scrubs for this Destiny's Child album with the same producer as No Scrubs?
I'm not saying we're trying to recreate an already existing mega huge pop band, but you know, hey, if you could. Yo, do me a favor real quick if you're listening to this podcast.
And, which you are.
You're obviously listening to this podcast. Do you think they're listening to the podcast right now? They're still listening.
Yeah, I guess they're listening, yeah.
We really need you to subscribe wherever you're listening. Hit the subscribe button.
Definitely make sure you're subscribed. We've got merch now.
What, shirts and pins and stickers and stuff?
Yeah, on the website. Go to our website, yfbspod.com.
Just do it.
Just do it. That would be a good slogan for something.
We should make a shirt.
Okay. Bills, Bills, Bills is pretty much the first big red flag with Destiny's Child. Anyone who's ever been in a relationship with someone where you couldn't really figure out what the fuck they wanted because of all the back and forth, mixed messages, the Destiny's Child CDs should have been a pretty huge red flag.
I think what's a red flag is there's four girls in the video.
Red flag or a false flag?
It's a red false flag.
Okay.
because there's four girls in the video, but seems to me there was only three girls in the band.
Well, there's really only ever one, honestly. I mean, they let Kelly sing sometimes, but a lot of the songs are just Beyonce's voice only.
Yeah, she sings for a second also, in Bills, Bills, Bills.
They're just background. they're literally supposed to be background interchangeable people, especially with the first four. When they replaced two of the members, one of the replacements was a background dancer on a Destiny's Child video. You're in the fucking band now. Talk about a promotion, right?
I actually feel bad for the fans of this, you know, group, because imagine this is the time when posters were so freaking popular.
Mm.
Everyone had posters in the rooms. It was like the thing to do, you know? Did you just have to buy a new poster every time they put out a record?
Some dude shows up trying to impress them. My God, all your faces tattooed.
Oh shit. They changed it again.
There are so many live videos you can find where it is so clear that the girls doing background vocals don't even have their mics turned on. They're lip syncing two tracks of Beyonce doing the background vocals on the album version, and Beyonce will have a live mic. She's also been busted lip syncing before too.
We should,
including I think at Obama's inauguration.
Shit. I assume there's lip syncing 100% of the time. I don't believe they're ever singing. I don't care if I could believe, I don't know. I still don't believe it. Even if it sounds real, I still think it's fake as fuck. I don't care. I think it's fake all the time, 100% of the time.
They definitely can turn a microphone on just to let someone do an ad lib. There are people who fall for it just because there's an ad lib. Like, what's up, Cleveland?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
No, shut the mic back off. That's how it works.
That's the most common thing that people say. Yeah, but they were talking in between songs. Like, yeah, well, there's a such thing as a mute button. Yeah. And if your sound guy knows you're set, Also, I don't know if you know this, but they do the same set every single fucking night and say the same shit over and over and over and over and over again. It's kind of like a comedian. If you go to five different shows on their tour, you're going to see the same set every night. Like,
for sure.
Literally word for word.
That's got to suck if you're a comedian, too. You walk out on night two and the same person's just sitting there in the front row. This better be good.
Right.
This better be good, dude. The second time.
Yo, dude, I'm not mixing it up like, at all. I've heard comedians say that they do like five nights somewhere and they're like the same person.
Nah, you're definitely trying to steal my act, right?
Yeah, I think they actually said like they felt bad because they were like, you're literally watching the same set five times.
So here are some lyrics from Bills, Bills, Bills. At first we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been, but now you're getting comfortable. Ain't doing those things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be handling.
I like a trifling, good for nothing type of brother.
Men exist to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Got it. At least you're upfront about it, right? You got to respect someone who's like, look, I'm a piece of shit, but I won't lie to you about it. You're paying all of my bills.
The same type of people that were like really identifying with this song. They're the same type of people that would get mad if a dude wrote a song called Gold Diggers and called women gold diggers. Because obviously this song is just about women embracing their gold diggery.
I'm about to call these women gold diggers right now. Yeah, I don't really fucking care who gets mad about it.
Pretty sure this song is proof.
The Gold Digger Girl Group. I don't really have a problem with that. My problem comes a couple years down the road when now all of a sudden the most famous gold digger girl group in the world, they get to rebrand themselves as independent women. I worked for this all on my own. I got everything I ever had. You can't have it both ways.
I just figured it out. Later in their career, we know that they're survivors. They survived the broke guys. That's what it is. They survived the good for nothing and trifling brothers. Oh my God. This guy's broke. He can't pay my bills. I'm a survivor.
I mean, I guess to be fair, this was before Tinder. So it would have had it been a lot harder to just try to do a full sweep of your town and get the richest guy, right?
I think you touched on this a second ago. If you can get someone to pay your bills, good for you. Do your thing. We are not shitting on gold diggers. Somebody wants to pay your bills. That's great. However,
you cannot then stunt with that money. You don't, like, I don't care if you have a Porsche. I don't, like, it's not yours. Also, I do know that fans are going to go off about everything we just said and tell us that this song is really about how the guy in the song keeps making the girl pay for his stuff, and that's why she's mad. He should be paying these bills because he's the one who ran them up in the first place. Mm. But that's bullshit. It's not like this is the only song on the album you have to defend if you're trying to pretend that this song is something else. You have to defend this whole band. The chorus of the song is, can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Do you pay my automobile bills? That one's actually a little clever. If you did, then maybe we could chill. I don't think you do, so you and me are through. That's the course of the song. This is pop music. Mm. At no point does anyone have a reasonable expectation that pop fans are listening to the verses of pop songs. They don't know the verses. They don't hear the verses. They're fucking with their hair in the mirror during the verses and singing along to the chorus.
How many just really good dudes or girls got broken up with because of this song? Because maybe they fell on hard times. Maybe they were just going through a time in their life where they got a little behind. And then all of a sudden, Destiny's Child comes along and everyone is just pointing out the whole time, you can't pay my fucking car note. And they're like, oh, well, I didn't know I had to.
If you want to talk about the negative effect these women's music have had on people, we could talk about a song from later in their career called Soldier, the message of which is if you want to get with any of them, you had better have a gun. You had better be street.
Mm.
You had better smoke drugs. I'm not joking. Like, these are the lyrics of this song.
Smoke drugs.
How many 17-year-old girls completely set the parameters on the type of guy they were looking for because this is what they thought was cool because of this
song? Okay, let me describe a person to you and you tell me what he sounds like. There's a guy out there that pays your telephone bill, that pays your automobiles. Pays your what? What's the first one?
It's all bills, then telephone bills, then automobiles.
Right, so he pays all your bills, your telephone bills, your automobiles. He owns a gun and he's quote unquote street. Their words, not mine. What are we describing here? Sounds like Al Capone or something
to
me.
It does sound a little
unsafe.
Sounds
a little bit like Scarface. Maybe that's what they're surviving is.
But here's what's stupid. Again, I don't even really have a fucking problem with that, except for who this shit is being marketed to. The age group that this shit is being marketed to is very specifically my problem with that specific song.
Setting up people for failure in relationships.
There's a song called Jumpin' Jumpin', which starts off with the words, "Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown."
This is
absolutely a song about going to the club to be a cheater as long as someone has enough money to make it worth cheating. That is the definition of being a gold digger. You go cheat on your boyfriend with someone who'll pay your phone bill.
That's basically what they're encouraging.
The other big single off the second album is Bugaboo, also written by Candy Burris, who wrote No Scrubs, also a rewrite of No Scrubs, also about the same fucking thing as all these songs. Or I guess the more accurate thing to say is these songs are about the same kind of guy, which is some guy who calls you too much and doesn't pay enough of your rent. Now, like I said, if you want to be a gold digger and you're honest about it, that's straight. I don't care. But also, do not be surprised if the dude who meets your financial bottom line and doesn't call you all that often is also banging every single one of your friends. Like the guy in the song, Say My Name.
Obviously, what's going to happen?
Yes. If you are these people, then you will also have to sing this song because this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to hook up with some dude who doesn't give a shit about you. He bought you.
Right.
Literally bought you. Doesn't give a fuck about you. And of course, he's going to fuck all your friends. Of course, you're not going to get all his attention, which you probably only want because you're trying to get him to put a ring on it. All the single ladies, right?
Right.
It's just, I'm surprised that this band doesn't have a song about poking holes in condoms once you get someone who's going to pay your phone bill.
I didn't listen to every one, single one of the songs, so maybe that is a thing. I don't know. But yeah, you want a guy that's going to pay all your bills, so you decide your current boyfriend isn't necessarily living up to that standard. So what do? You leave your man at home and you go to the club to find a guy with fat pockets. And then you chase that guy down and all of a sudden you're dating that guy. But it turns out that maybe you weren't the only girl that he was paying the bills with.
Surprise.
Surprise. He's paying other girls' bills. Also, you weren't bootylicious enough for him.
And now you can't get him to say your name when you're talking to him on the phone. So again, this is pop music. There are so many people who are so angry at us for the things that we've said so far. They believe that they love Destiny's Child, even though they don't know all the words to a single Destiny's Child song. This is pretty much the case for every band that we do an episode on. People who get mad don't know any of the songs. They just think they do. It's because it's impossible to stay focused on songwriting that is this bad. I know that there are a lot of people who believe they love this song who have spaced out on the verses every time and don't really know what the song is about. The song is she's calling her dude on the phone because she thinks he's fucking around on her.
Dude, think about it. This is a time, even if you had a cell phone, you didn't know who was calling you. Remember, cell phones didn't always have caller ID.
Right.
Maybe that was the inspiration because the guy was like, "I'm sorry, who is this? Which one are you?" She calls him to talk to him.
Like he doesn't know if you're who he started talking to last night. Yeah, yes. For sure.
And she's like, "Say my name." And he's like, "Can you talk some more?"
She could have star 67 his ass too.
Wasn't it star 69?
No, that's if you wanted to find out who just called you.
Oh, right.
She could have star 67 his ass. I'm going to see what this motherfucker's really doing.
Yeah, these were all the like crazy shit that happened like back in the day.
Especially if you're the kind of girl who's trying to get someone to pay all your bills.
What's funny is everyone like under 30 right now listening to this is like, what the fuck are they talking about? They didn't have caller ID. What is this, like, archaic?
They don't know who Destiny's Child is anyways.
That's probably true.
Or she thinks there's someone actually in the room with him and he doesn't want to say her name because there's someone there. If there's not anyone there, why don't you just say my name so whoever you're with knows who you're talking to? Make sure they're not the side piece, etc. That's the if no one is around you, say baby I love you if you ain't running games.
Okay, so what if he's dating one of the other girls in Destiny's Child?
He definitely is dating all the girls in Destiny's Child. If he's dating one of them, for sure he's dating all of them.
Okay, but if they don't even use their real names, which name is he supposed to say?
There's also that.
This guy is screwed from the jump.
People act like musically that this song reinvented R&B and it was the first sign that Beyonce was going to save the world or whatever they think she's doing these days. But what Aaliyah and Timbaland did on the song Are You That Somebody is so much more noteworthy than anything anyone has pretended that Say My Name was when it came out a year later. For real, if anyone's making the argument that the production on any Destiny's Child song actually matters to the history of music, you had better be a walking, talking encyclopedia on Timbaland's whole career, or you're a fool.
I really think if you were to talk to people that have really strong opinions, I really think that a majority of them would say that Aaliyah was more influential with music and just a better overall artist than anything that Destiny's Child did.
And also from a production standpoint, all of this shit is just jacked from Timbaland. Like all this stuff that's happening on these Destiny's Child albums, it's from Timbaland copycats.
Just Timbaland at the time could do no wrong.
He produced some crazy huge songs. The Pony is Timbaland, just in case anyone, like seriously, go read about Timbaland and then shut the fuck up. Leave me alone.
I'm not going to say that, you know, a lot of these artists don't write their own songs or even write any part of the songs at all. Like not even probably the word and in a lyric. My guess is without Timbaland, a lot of artists wouldn't exist.
There are so many songs. Big Pimpin' is Timbaland production.
I've seen how it was made. It's in this Illuminati introduction video when you, somebody told me this, I didn't join. When you join, they give you like this background thing of, it's specifically that song, because I guess there's a lot of Illuminati references.
If you were trying to, you know, force your child to help you retire, you would think major trend at the time was boy groups and girl groups, especially in anything close to R&B. I've got better chances with a group.
Yeah.
You'd have to look over at the people breaking solo artists and thinking like, that's where it's really at. They're the real ones. I mean, that's what Aaliyah did when she was 15 years old, instead of jumping through in the trend boy groups and girl groups. In that alternate timeline where her plane did not crash, this would be a hard reality check for Beyonce fans if they could see it.
If she survived R. Kelly. My YouTube video about this is going to come out at some point, so I don't want to completely spoil it, but I have about a 30-minute, maybe 3-hour video coming out about how Aaliyah maybe had faked her death because she wanted to get away from R. Kelly. And now that R. Kelly is in jail, maybe Aaliyah is going to come back out and say, I really didn't die. I was just trying to get away from him because he was gross.
Her and Tupac will do an album together.
I don't know. We'll have to wait till the video comes out. Aaliyah's career was like skyrocketing. There's a really good chance.
Across the board, not just music either.
As a complete solo artist, as an actress.
Yeah, she was starring in major movies while Beyonce was still doing made-for-TV crap. If she was as good as Aaliyah, should have been able to do this too. This is late 90s R&B we're talking about. You can just multi-track your own background vocals, which is what Beyonce often did. Difference being solo artists, they just hired backup dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Just hire backup dancers. Don't pretend like they have microphones. Hire backup singers. Put them in the corner. No one needs to know their names. You're the person who's doing this, right? Let's make it happen.
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. You can protect your ego that way. It's really easy to hide behind the success or failure of it. If it fails, you can just pin it on the whole thing of like, well, we didn't have the right group together.
If you've got the talent, you don't have to do all this extra shit with a B squad to make yourself look better by comparison. It's Mean Girl 101. I mean, this is the same thing as using the Instagram filter that makes you look the best and everyone else in the picture looks purple or something.
Wait, are you saying Beyonce's not talented?
Mean Girl 101, dude. Show up to the club looking better than everyone else in your group.
Wait, who am I?
Bzzz. Oh, yeah.
Bzzz.
Is it Beehive or Bayhive?
The Beehive.
Whatever.
I don't know because I don't care. I've only ever heard it described as the Beehive.
Right. How many members of the Beehive or Bayhive are Russian bot accounts? That's what I want to know.
I would assume at any given time, 50% of them are paid for by her management, publicist, whoever.
If you go look at the top comments, it's hilarious, especially if you go back and look at the official uploads for Destiny's Child music videos for the songs that are super problematic now, like the ones where we're calling them gold diggers. That's where you're going to see all the true believers making the arguments that this song's not about what it looks like it's really about, etc. A lot of it looks...
A red false flag?
A lot of it looks planted.
Okay, let's just think about this for one fucking second. If you had... millions of dollars, let's say tens of millions of dollars, and you are going to invest in an idea and you are going to launch the idea to the world. If you have half a brain, you don't let people just generically comment on it. Everything is curated. Everything, every response, every review that is possible to be paid for is paid for. Every comment that's bad is deleted. Do you think they're not going to curate the shit out of comments? Even to this day, the band still broke up however many years ago and is still probably generates more money than most current artists.
All right, so I was listening to some of the stuff Mark was saying right there and actually thinking about it and some of the stuff he told me earlier that he uncovered in his YouTube research. And, you know, this was a long recording session anyways, so I think we're going to go ahead and take a little breather right here. Gauge the reaction to what's been revealed so far and make sure the world is ready for the information contained in part two. Real fast, I do have an update on the brand new Beethoven t-shirt design. It is no longer a pre-order. We got the thing printed. It's in stock. It looks great. We're shipping orders. I know how many of y'all like to wait until it's a sure thing before you get one. So you can now go to shop.yfbspod.com. Try to get your hands on one of these things before they are all gone. We do appreciate it. Share part one with everyone you know. We'll be back before you know it. We've still got to get bootylicious. We still got to talk about independent women. And you know, we're going to talk about Survivor, which means wading even deeper into the backstory, lawsuits, and conspiracy theories of